Do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? Do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? That's the question. And I'm glad somebody put this question in the question box. It's a very good question. I don't know who did that, but I'm thankful that you put this question in there because it shows that somebody's thinking about this. It shows that somebody's thinking about baptism, and we should think seriously about baptism. Baptism is important. It's something that we want to know what the Scriptures teach about. And so let me just answer the question quickly. The answer to the question is yes. Do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? The answer is yes. Now, in our previous question, the one we just discussed, we talked about the blessings, many of the blessings that are in Christ Jesus. And you notice that some of those blessings are there: forgiveness of sins, redemption, access to the Father, acceptance in Christ. Now, all of those things are there for the one who is in Christ. And that's an important thing to think about when it comes to the question, well, how do we get in Christ? What is the process by which we get into Christ so that we can say we are in Christ? And these spiritual blessings that Christians have, certainly a person cannot go to heaven without forgiveness of sins. A person cannot go to heaven without redemption. A person is not going to be able to go to heaven without being sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. These are all wonderful blessings that are in Christ, and we need these blessings in order to go to heaven. But we must be in Christ, that is, in the body of Christ. And how do we get into Christ? And the answer is we have to put on Christ in order to get into Christ. Now turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3 for just a moment. Galatians chapter 3. Back up, if you're in Ephesians, you just need to back up a few pages. After 2 Corinthians, we have Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And let's start in about verse 26. Now look what Paul says here in verse 26. He says this: "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." You're sons of God. You're children of God. Part of the family of God. That's one of the spiritual blessings that Paul listed there in Ephesians chapter 1. And he talks about it here also. You're sons of God, children of God in Christ Jesus. You say, well, how do I know if I'm in Christ Jesus? Listen to what he says in verse 27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Well, there it is right there. How do you know you're a child of God? You've been baptized into Christ, and you've thereby put on Christ. You are therefore in Christ. And the image that he gives here is like, you know, putting on a robe or something like that. If you were to take one of those big, fluffy robes that you find, you know, at all the fancy hotels. In fact, that reminds me of something. We got to go over to the Yellowstone National Park a couple of years ago. And we stayed in the lodge, the old Yellowstone Inn, all right? And there in the Old Faithful area. And it was a wonderful experience. But the old part of the inn doesn't have showers and bathrooms inside the room itself. They have a community shower and bathroom. So that's the way they used to do things years and years ago, you know, back in the early 1900s or whatever. Everybody went to the same place to shower and bathe and do their business and everything. And so what they did provide, though, was what every single day you come in and they have nice, fresh robes there, these beautiful white Yellowstone Inn robes. And they were gorgeous. And they were so comfortable. You know, you'd put them on, and they had a nice big belt that you put on around and cinch it up. And they just felt so good, you know. But they gave you those robes so you could go down the hall and go take a shower. Now, the showers were private. They weren't open, you know, and everything. But anyway, it was just a wonderful experience to go there and do that. But that, you know, talking about being enrobed in Christ, it's like having one of those big fluffy robes that you get at these wonderful, wonderful hotels. And you put that robe on it just completely wraps you around, you know. And you're in that robe in a very real sense, right? That's the same language that Paul uses here to describe being in Christ. When we're baptized, we go down into that water and we're enrobed in Christ. You know, He surrounds us at that point. And we give ourselves to Him, and He takes us in. He takes us into His family. He takes us into His love and care. He takes us in to all the spiritual blessings that He provides. And as a result, we are in Christ Jesus. And that's a great place to be, because that's where all these wonderful spiritual blessings are that He gives. Now look at what He says here. Continue in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. What is He talking about? Why would He even say that here in verse 28? Because He's talking about identity. Okay? And that's what happens when we're baptized into Christ. We identify with Christ. And that means our identity changes. We're no longer who we used to be. Now we're all one in Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. We're no longer, as Paul says, we're no longer to be identified with these other areas, whether it's Jew or whether it's Greek, whether it's slave or free, whether it's male or female, you're all one in Christ. There's no other identity other than being a Christian. And we identify thus with Christ, and Christ makes us all one in Him. And that's a beautiful thing to happen. And that's why baptism, sometimes we speak about baptism as identifying with Christ. And that's really what it is. It's making Christ our identity, making Him who we are, really putting Him on as the person that we're going to be from now on. Now look at this, verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now do you remember the great promise that God made Abraham? He said, "In thy seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And what a wonderful blessing it is to be in Christ, because it means we're the heirs to those promises that God made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Those are our promises now because we're in Christ. You see, in Christ, all the nations of the earth are blessed. How is that? When people identify with Christ, when they're baptized into Christ, when they give themselves to Christ, they receive all of these wonderful spiritual blessings and they are blessed. Blessed in ways that we could never be blessed in outside of Christ, just as we spoke about a few moments ago. And so to be in Christ and to have all access to all these spiritual blessings, including heaven and the future of being in heaven with God forever, then we must be baptized into Christ. So do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? Yes, absolutely. And there's a real sense in which those who are baptized are in heaven right now, even. And you say, well, how can I be in heaven being here on earth? Well, like Paul said, you're in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, I don't know what it all means, but I know that it's different. It's not the same as somebody who's outside of Christ. They're not in the heavenly places in Christ. No, they're not. Only you are as Christians. And that's special and that's different from those who are outside of Christ. But let's consider some other thoughts along this line as well. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5 for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. And let's think about this from a little different angle, maybe. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. Let's look at that. Peter says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, we have this inheritance. It's incorruptible. It doesn't fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. It's waiting there, as it were, for us to experience the fullness of what it means to be in heaven. Now, we don't experience the fullness of that right now, because obviously here we are. You know, we're not in heaven yet in the fullest sense of the word. But that inheritance is waiting for us, and it's there, and God is going to give it to us when we get there. And so this is when we get to heaven. And so we are blessed in this way. And so this inheritance is reserved in heaven. But it's only for those, notice verse 3, who have been begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay? So there's a certain process, a birth process that we have to go through in order to have this inheritance. It's just like being born into a regular family. And when members of that family pass away, they leave an inheritance to that family. Well, you can't receive that inheritance unless you're a member of that family, unless you are born into that family. And the same idea holds true here. When we're born into the family of God, God gives us an inheritance. We're listed as being inheritors, you know, after that, because of the fact that we're in Christ. We're heirs. And that's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 there in verse 29, that we're heirs. Those are the people who inherit the inheritance, right? But it only happens to those who are born again or who are begotten of God. But what does it mean to be born again? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 22 through 23 for just a moment, just a little bit down in the context. Notice what Peter says here. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another from a pure heart fervently, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. So we're born again through the word of God. He also says, you've purified your souls in obeying the truth. Through the Spirit, you've obeyed the truth. So to be born again is to obey the truth. All right? And that's what he's talking about here when he says you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That is, through the Word of God. You listen to the Word of God, you hear it, and you obey it. And when you obey it, then you're born again. That's what Peter is telling us here. All right. So what is it that we obey of the truth? Well, we obey the gospel. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, for example. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. There, Paul is talking about what's going to happen when Christ comes again. And he's going to, he's going to punish those who have not been obedient to him. And it says here that in flaming fire, he will take vengeance on those, listen, who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in order to avoid the vengeance that Christ is going to take, we've got to obey the gospel. Well, what is the gospel that I should obey it? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. You say, what is the gospel? How do I obey the gospel? Well, what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. So Paul's going to tell us what the gospel is here. Which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. You're saved by the gospel. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12, he was buried, verse 4, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now we've got to obey that. We've got to obey the gospel. Well, how do I obey that? How do I obey Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection? How do I obey the gospel? Well, there's an answer to that. Turn over to Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 through 11. Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 through 11 for just a moment. And look at what Paul writes there about how to obey the gospel. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Now look at verse 2. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? there's the death. If you're baptized into Christ Jesus, you're baptized into his death. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You've got to obey the gospel. So you've got to obey in order to get into the death, the burial, and the resurrection. When you're baptized, you come into the death. As many of us were baptized into his death. Now look at verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him. There's the burial. So you got the death. And you got the burial here now. We were buried therefore with him, but through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, there's the resurrection. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. How do you obey the gospel? By being baptized into Christ. You come into the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now listen to this, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So we've been united with him in the likeness of his death. We shall also be with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Now that's not talking about the likeness of his resurrection coming up out of the water. That's talking about the likeness of his resurrection when he came forth out of the grave. And where did he go after his resurrection? He went to sit on the right hand of the throne of the Father in heaven. And that's where Jesus is now. He's in heaven. And that's where we will be if we are baptized in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection and live faithfully for him. We'll be with him in heaven. Wherever Jesus is right now, that's where we're going to be. And so do I have to be baptized to go to heaven? Yes, yes. We must be baptized to go to heaven because it's the only way to obey the gospel is by being baptized. You can't obey the gospel any other way than being baptized. And when we're baptized, we have the forgiveness of sins. We're added to the body of Christ. We have all those spiritual blessings that are in Christ. We're redeemed. We're bought by the blood of Christ. That's where Christ shed his blood in his death. And so when we're baptized, we're baptized into his death. We come into contact with his blood. That blood cleanses us from all of our sins. And we have the opportunity then to live faithfully for him and one day go to heaven. And so, in order to be saved, we've got to obey the gospel. And Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, we read that Jesus, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey him. And so we need to obey him. Now let me make it as simple as possible. Do we have to be baptized to go to heaven? Yes. Why? Because he's only going to save those who obey him. And if we say, no, I'm not going to be baptized, we're not obeying Jesus at that point. We're actually being disobedient to Jesus at that point. And no, he's not going to let us into heaven if we're disobedient to him. And so we need to obey him. And among other things, Jesus has commanded us to be baptized. He said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so he wants us to baptize. He wants people to be baptized. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16.